Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the various groups and Klungan armies forming up outside of Grinkin Town. Good morning to General Baglavius, the First Lord of the Last Quadrant. Good morning to Bishop Regal, standing forth against the oils of Sklumbai. Good morning. It is April the 28th, 2024. Bo Blimp Doc. That's right, April the 28th, 2024. Bo Blimp Doc. It's Sunday. Right around 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on the Olympic Peninsula. The coyotes are circling at night now. Coyotes are seeking after human flesh. And one day, my prophecy from 2016 or 2017, whatever, it will be fulfilled. I'll be eaten by coyotes just as the Lord intended it. They get a healthy meal. They get a special steal. They get the THC that's inside my bone. Yes, indeed. It is Sunday, almost 11 a.m. And can you believe it? My friends, can you believe it? You know, we're still here. We're still breathing. A lot of the edgelords are torquing up to put mega banners on their social media accounts. A lot of folks are going through denial and anger and bargaining, just staying on the turning circle, because the angrier and the more frustrated you get, the more likely reality will change, right? Or maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe our anger and our wrath and our sense of revenge will have zero impact upon the nature of reality, including stuff like the Ukraine war, you know? There's been a lot of talk about what if the Ukraine loses the war against Russia? What if Zelensky is defeated by Putin? What will happen to the world? What will happen to the world? What will happen to planet Bo Blimp Doc if Ukraine falls? If the Ukraine falls, the exit queen Dorstra, she'll reveal the last moon pie. Serious exploiters of Hydron power will build their stations and drive away the Fergus herders, as it should be. As evening falls, on that first day after the defeat of Ukraine, the Witch of Eastern Gold stands tall and opens up her legs to the druidic raiding parties from Boston. And then, as dingit birds pick the bones of the dead, a new regime forms up, drains the rivers, and arranges for the prisoner exchange. All of this hangs in the balance when anal masters have sway, and Kepler priests do wrong all along, if the Ukraine falls. If the Ukraine falls, telemetric Quee barons will unleash fire upon the last royal knights of Copenhagen. The Parisian sway crowd, partying too loud, will vomit up ghost semen upon the altar of Morton brandy. Vlagas, The tunnel caddy spends his days with abandoned wolf scholars and Nordic brain masons. After the fire goes out, a made-on army of sweet memory moves on to Warsaw. And a blue-screen dandy finds shoes and candy for his woman from Shandy. Not to be outdone, the devil will burn holes in the sun. And the crack will spread, leaving Harlot dead from the Atlantic to the Caribbean. As if this were not enough, the Bermuda Triangle is opened, and a large star cruiser from Ibnus Prime shows up and blasts away all our monster rice. If the Ukraine falls! If the Ukraine falls, your dog will start to hear voices. Messages from the galaxy next door. Your dog will wander the streets, chasing after hookers and pimps, biting feral lip masters, feeding on the grime and death of the alley. His eyes will be filled with tears when he sees the last cheese factory destroyed by Putin. And the canine clans of Dagestan will join forces and link up in Berlin. Your cat doesn't really care, though, if the Ukraine falls. Your cat won't care. If the Ukraine falls, Zelensky will move out of his mansion in Florida, back into the nice co-op in Brooklyn. He will marry some dude named Marv and make movies about dolphins that learn how to fly. His bannerman will be sacrificed to the bingo crowd in Boca Raton as scab feeders lurk in the hallways of his diseased mind. Biden, whichever Biden we're discussing today, I count six, will rally the lesbian blue hair brigade. Armed with bats and bad temper, they will unleash an assault upon the Russian zone, but then only to be shredded by machine gun fire coming from the Orthodox monks in Brighton Beach. Turtles will swarm Manhattan as the sharks from Philly seek mulled curry at Old Slim's Jabba Bar. And still the cats don't fucking care if the Ukraine falls. Your cat doesn't fucking care. It really doesn't. If the Ukraine falls, a herd of cattle, half black and half red, will stampede through Rome as the Pope sells cocaine to the lost friars of Grinkentown. Bishop Lorenzo will cast a spell on the Celts in Lombardy as Milan joins forces with Detroit and the eagle collars die waiting for milk and corn biscuits. Mushroom singers will move into the upper regions of New York State, and Alec Baldwin will be made king of Saratoga. Offerings are made, young fleshed and torn tunic. As the weeks pass, banshees will be seen in the sky, and a double-flavored crispy chicken ice cream sandwich will be on sale at 7-Eleven for half price. Murmur seals are spotted 85 degrees off of Baltimore, with Nexus ships moving 66% the speed of light towards Jupiter, but really, that's only if the Ukraine falls. If the Ukraine falls, towards the end of the week, a great dark silence will boil out of Ireland. Drinkers and thinkers from the four different pubs emerge to cast lots for costumes and swords. President Biden, whichever, again, one we're talking about, will find himself surrounded by his own mistakes, plural, as basket-weaving wanderers sink daggers into his dried-up and evil old heart. The six Chinese princes will provide counsel to the next Emperor of Steel as the cornered tiger tribes of Istanbul cluster and rampage those sacred places left by the Vikings. And to add insult to injury, Jorbid, temperate and kind, honors his battle-hardened yeoman and hears the cry of Raven from the citadel. Neglected pimp guardians, no longer standing and fighting, sink deeper into the wetlands near the landfill. And still, as the Ukraine falls, the cats don't fucking care if the Ukraine falls. If the Ukraine falls, cats will form their Klungit League, and squirrels will join forces with raccoon to create the first true critter alliance. The deer will roam scared, covered in parasites and boils, brains filled with poison and pain. The elk will disappear from the lowlands, and the trumpet rook will be left with no means of completion, no home far from the sun. Snails will mate with penguins, and the beetles will run loose upon the sour fields of Eden. Without an army to stop them, the Third Cat Legion, under the command of Mr. Fibbles, will rein in the mouse scoundrels and the corvette hounds, the ones that hang at the wharf. Endless nights of smoke and illness, endless days of burning desire, genital crabs the size of monkeys, and monkeys the size of cranes, and cranes the size of battleships, if the Ukraine falls. If the Ukraine falls, it's going to be pretty fucking bad, man. Next topic, I've got some ideas for movies. Now, you're going to have to follow me on this. These are movie ideas. I think they're pretty good. You know, you all know these rom-coms are popular, especially with the suburban white women who stay at home on Friday night. Women in the 30s who only have cats, and the cats don't care if the Ukraine falls. The title of my first pitch is called Literally Maybe. This is the story of a Gen Z love affair between two young people who literally can't see each other because they stare at their phones all day. But one day, when the power goes out because of an EMP attack from China, or maybe some kind of fucking Carrington event, maybe these two look at each other on the bus and fall in love. Literally, maybe. This will be a great love story. The Lifetime Channel will buy it, you know. And those time travel movies are really popular these days, you know what I mean? So I have an idea for a film called Time Nazi. Imagine it's 1944 and Hitler sends his time Nazis back to Viking times. They build up some basic industry for about 100 years, and then they launch an attack on England. It will be so anachronistic, Viking armor brigades rolling up, playing Wagner over loudspeakers. Of course, we get Mexicans to play the English, and the Vikings are played by Chinese. It all takes place sometime in the 10th century. The next king of England is trans, you know. And the Boogie Boys from 1944 want to put a stop to it. Big stuff, very deep. This movie's going to Sundance. Here's another great idea for a movie. The title is Lust Fest, okay? Lust, L-U-S-T, Fest, as in festival. The movie will star Scarlett Johansson, Sydney Sweeney, Margot Robbie, and Salma Hayek. The setting for the film will be a jungle swamp island near El Salvador, run by drug dealers and the CIA and the Vatican. Salma Hayek, played by Sister Suede, played by Salma Hayek, runs an illegal human laboratory where women are put to the test to achieve total boovula satisfaction. In this film, Lust Fest, there are lots of shower scenes and jungle chases, and nobody gets that much clothing. Very poignant end scene where Sweeney and Robbie, after ingesting some of Johansson's flesh to avoid starvation, Johansson got killed by a snake. They stand on the edge of some cliff overlooking that wretched dying sea. They hold hands, Sweeney and Robbie, and right towards the end, Robbie's character says something, you know, Debbie, she says something very poignant right when they're jumping off the cliff. I wanted to see Vegas. This'll totally hook the lesbian crowd with that Thelma and Louise garbage. Okay, it's ratios, it's demographics, it's marketing. The movie will cost $15 million. We make it in 2 weeks. It earns $300 million. Fuck you. Here's another idea for a film. The title is Halfway There. It's the story of Siamese twins that decide their gender is wrong, so they pursue a quest to achieve a sex change. At one point, they rob some drug dealers to get just enough cash to buy tickets to Bolivia. In Bolivia, they undergo massively dangerous unsanitary surgeries, with Nazi-sounding doctors doing weird stuff with hot polkas. The movie ends with Stroglon warriors harvesting the skiv milk from the Siatrans twins who make money handing out popsicles at the strip mall. This is probably an art house film. You know, maybe Matt Damon funds it. I've got this other idea for a movie. It's a kind of a space battle film. It's called Star Glory. You have these magical shitheads called dig monks, and they go around mind-fucking people and spreading an STD that makes more dig monks. Some of these shitheads go bad, they drink the gray potion and become albino bad guys with bad scar tissue issues. A few of the monks rally forces and send out spies on death missions and, you know, discover easily repairable flaws and an impossible to destroy Death Star type thing. At the end of the series, because it's gonna be one, and it'll start with episode 4 because fuck you. At the end, we'll learn that they were all inbred crapheads sleeping with their sisters for the glory of the stars. It'll be a big hit. A lot of Joseph Campbell, you know, Hero with a Thousand Faces bullshit. Some Wagnerian soundtrack. Star Glory. You can find it, baby. Just get the STD. It'll be a big hit. So I've got another idea. It's kind of a horror film. The title of the film is Wake Up Call. You know, it's a little bit like that kind of, you know, Freddy Krueger bullshit, but it's not about dreams. It's not about being killed in your dreams. It's about that shitty noise your phone makes when you wake up in the morning, like tomorrow morning on Monday to go to fucking work. And the trailers are easy. Just show people being hacked up in their beds when that noise comes on that fucking phone. Somehow, also druids got a hold of the rare earth minerals that were used before, you know, whatever, to go into the phone. So this whole thing is a druidic curse. Kind of like Halloween 3. What a shitty film. I thought Halloween 2 was bad. Halloween 3 was bad. But yeah, it's a good one. I think Sony should call me. Here's another movie idea called Spawn of the Devil. It's a story of fraternal twins born of the rage of time itself. They grow up in the same house, and there's always a suspicion that something's wrong with one of them. So they go around and around their whole lives accusing each other, mostly one person, of being spawns of the devil. It's not much from here. Probably make the film in Czech Republic. It's not a great idea, but hey, it could make some money, maybe. in Czechoslovakia. So imagine a film based upon the accidental meeting of Ray Bradbury and Heinlein. You know, Heinlein and Ray Bradbury, you know, they just kind of meet each other randomly for coffee. Robert Heinlein, Ray Bradbury, they're meeting for coffee. Who knows why? Fuck you. And accidentally, witches, again, probably druids, witches transport them to medieval times, and they become generals on opposing sides in a great battle between the Mongols and the English kings. And, you know, honestly, I lose the thread from here. So maybe, I don't know. Don't listen to me. Here's another pitch. Tiny people, okay, imagine a nice little town with a lot of tiny people. They have farms and they have food. They have security. They have everything they need, these tiny people. They just want to be left the fuck alone. But then one day, some nasty old syphilis-ridden wizard keeps knocking on their doors. The title of the movie is The Ring of the Doorbell. The wizard, Geraldo, goes around telling the tiny, happy, furry people that some shitty other wizard, probably the dick's brother, is causing some kerfuffle. And only one of the tiny, furry people can help. You know, this is what Geraldo tells all of them. The movie ends with Geraldo knocking on the wrong fucking hobbit door. Jandy, the angry hobbit, hears the knock and pulls out his 700 Nitro Express tripod-mounted gun. He's a little person, and takes Geraldo out. Because that's how this stupid hobbit shit should go. You're my only hope. You're the only one. Without you, it fails. I'm not mind-fucking. You're the only one. You're the only hope. If you had died at birth, the world would end. I'm not gaslighting. I'm not gaslighting you. My name's Geraldo. I mean Gandalf. And I'm a fucker. Yeah, well, why don't you try on Jandy's 700 Nitro Express, Gandalf? You got a magic potion for that fucker? Probably not. So these are all movie ideas. If you know anybody in the film industry who wants to make a lot of money, have them give me a call. I'll put the scripts together. I gotta get funded to do that. My current situation is terrible. But if they can put up money for a couple months in some type of, I don't know, studio apartment, maybe studio, maybe one bedroom. I don't give a fuck, okay? Really, call me. Call me, Netflix, you fucks. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. In the world today, the truth is hidden by gaslight. What does that mean? Well, what is gaslighting? Well, some people think of it as a relatively complicated topic. Maybe. It's not really. It's basically just psychological manipulation. And it's a specific kind. It's where you basically try to convince a person that the way they see the world is wrong, and to the point that it harms the person. Now, there are lots of reasons why people gaslight. You know, there are people in really bad relationships where one person will gaslight the other, in part as a way to keep them from leaving. It's usually a sign of abuse. But you look around the world today, and it seems like if there is truth out there, it's hidden by a lot of fucking gaslighters. And that could include me too, bro, sister, get real. If you listen to some random shithead on the internet, you should at least have the common sense to say this person could be wrong. We could all be wrong. Gaslighters usually don't say that, but I could be the soft sell gaslighter, right? Soft serve, soft sell. Oh boy, that's a strategy. Yeah. And I can't even tell you how much recoverable truth is out there. In some ways, it seems like gold mining these days, where they'll take a sample of the soil and tell you how much gold, in a mineral sense, is in the dirt. But you still got to sift through the dirt to find a little bit of gold that's in there. It's not like the olden days usually. It's not like you find the mother lode. What you find is usually a mountain someplace that has a certain percentage of gold in the soil, in the rock. That's a lot like truth these days, you know? There is truth out there, but it's hard to find. And usually the best you can come up with is knowing when they're lying. That's it. Next topic. Dan, oh my God, whatever. I'm probably going to offend some more people, I hope. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, a good one for Sunday. Statism endures, in part, because of the heresy of Emperor Constantine. Dr. Freckles, what does that mean? Well, as a Christian who wants to understand the first century Christian more than the fourth century Christian, I would say that what Emperor Constantine did, from a purely kind of Machiavellian perspective, even though Machiavelli would be born about 1,000 years later, from a purely Machiavellian perspective, what Emperor Constantine did was brilliant. The Western Roman Empire, because at that time the empire was split into two halves, the Western Roman Empire was in collapse. And what he needed above all else was a way to get people motivated to want to defend it. I don't think he had any interest in the Christian faith. I don't think there was some great miracle on a battlefield. I think that's a lot of concocted bullshit. And in the history of concocted bullshit associated with the Vatican, well, that's a long and distinguished history. You know, it's almost like if you met an anthropologist and a Jesuit and you asked yourself, which is the greater liar? Well, I mean, if you need to sew together part of a fish and part of a dog and claim that it's a missing link, you talk to the anthropologist, right? Yeah. As a result of what Emperor Constantine did, we have the Vatican, which was once just the Bishop of Rome. And as a result of that, we have centered a faith of Christianity around a place that, in my opinion, is not holy at all. There is nothing holy about the Vatican. If any motherfucker ever tells you, well, shit, Dan, if they take something, you know, unholy to the Vatican, stop right there. Something unholy has happened in Rome, probably going back to the Tarquins. Shut up, okay? Cato the Elder complained about child trafficking. Cato the Elder complained about raping kids. And Cato the Elder lived, I don't know, about 150 years before Christ. The Vatican has been a hole to hell, an unholy place for a shit ton of time, folks. And I'm not saying that the people of Rome are doomed. Not exactly. I'm not saying they're doomed, and if you're a Catholic, you could very well be an actual Christian. But as far as the Vatican goes, I find very little Christian about it. Very little. Anywho, the statism endures part is really kind of simple, and it's part of the trick, because, you know, people will say, well, Catholicism is a religion. But no, the Vatican's a government. The Vatican is a state. They call them the Papal States. Do you think this is some kind of bullshit? What Emperor Constantine did is he managed to fuse a lot of crooked paganism with a few bits and pieces of Christianity, and as a result, he provided justification for an empire that was falling apart, and it was still going to fall apart. This is the key point. In fact, you could even argue that God probably tipped it over faster because of that Emperor Constantine bullshit. Statism endures because a lot of Christians believe that somehow magically their leader is representing God. I don't care if it's Biden, I don't care if it's Trump, I don't care if it's RFK Jr. or whatever freak ends up emerging from the morass you call the Libertarian Party. Okay? Statism endures because people believe that some particular leader, or I should say ruler, is on a holy mission. They're not. You know, you may have a picture of Ron Paul at home. I hope to offend you too. I think Ron Paul's a limited fucking hangout. I don't know if he's in on it. I don't know if he's just a useful idiot. But in reality, he's actually kept people from heading in the right direction, which means towards liberty. He's kept people inside of the fucking fence line. Next topic. can. You beat up on Ron Paul. You're a shithead. Fuck you, Scrumbo. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The main reason to let go of regrets, you can't unpoop a turd. Once you pooped it, once it's sitting in the bowl, you can't unpoop it. You just leave it there. You can't unpoop a turd. You can't. You know, it's a rather crass way of saying it, but it's something that a lot of people, to include me, I never totally figured it out, and I can't say I still have. But I am fairly certain that the reason why my regrets are flawed, one of the reasons, is because you're just not going to change it. It's shit that's happened. You can move along, you can keep going, you can try to limit your regretful bullshit to a minimum, but the fact is, you can't unpoop a turd. Okay? You can't. Next topic. Oh, Dan, really a next topic? Yeah. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. And this one is going to offend a lot of people. Yeah. The Khazars stole Judaism for the same reason Constantine stole Christianity. Dr. Freckles, what's that? You know what? I'm not going to go too deep into it. I'll just say it again. The Khazars stole Judaism for the same reason Constantine stole Christianity. Yeah.
What do you mean, Dan?
Well, this is one of those cases where I would just assume you figure it out for yourself. Oh, Dan, next topic. Okay, there's an article in the New York Post about women who are paying money. This is crazy shit. I'm going to read some of this article, maybe all of it. Headline: women are paying $500 to get salmon sperm injected into their vaginas to boost sex lives. This was written by Adriana Diaz on April the 22nd, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. Yeah. I read on. This is from the New York Post, baby. These women will try any fin to improve their sex lives. Women are paying $500 to have salmon sperm injected into their vaginas to help their floundering sex lives. A lot of older women come to me and say they're not having any kind of sexual arousal anymore. Amanda Azopardi, an aesthetic nurse who runs clinics in London, Liverpool, and North Wales, told the Daily Mail. So we do the O shot, and they're reporting stronger and more frequent orgasms, increased natural lubrication, and greater sexual arousal. An O shot is a non-surgical treatment intended to rejuvenate the vagina and increase sexual arousal, and is alleged to typically show results after about 2 to 4 sessions. That sounds like $5,000. Yeah. Several kinds of injections are used for the procedure, including the patient's own blood or salmon sperm. It's just absolutely life-changing for them, Azopardi said. Listen, if you stuck salmon sperm up my butt, it'd be life-changing for me too, lady. I'm going to stop right here. This is some kind of bullshit. But I have a theory. If it's healthy for women to stick denatured salmon semen into their vagina, I have a theory. It's going to be very fucking controversial. Maybe it would be healthier to get some, you know, maybe it would be healthier to get the real thing. I know that's, oh, Dan, that's gross. It's gross. I think this is gross. I think this is disgusting. I'm not saying women don't have a right to orgasms. I'm fairly certain this is bullshit medicine. But what's as important, it might be actually, you know, dangerous. You may think that these salmon, whether farm-raised or coming from the ocean, are pure. Pure as the whitest silk. But the alternative theory is a lot of them are toxic as fuck. And if the sperm is coming from a salmon farm, oh boy, that's one of the most toxic kinds of fish you can fucking eat. You know, there's a reason why they use the red, you know, the red dye. the red food coloring, so it has that pink color. It comes out kind of brown and gross. So run to your farmer's market to get fresh salmon sieges, to get the flotsam and jetsam injected into your boovula. Next topic. Not a great idea. I wouldn't recommend it. Well, Dan, that's terrible. I don't know. I have a quote from Dr. Freckles, but it's just going to offend people, maybe. 100% of voters are either Satanists or disappointed gluttons for punishment. I'm going to leave that there. Fuck it. Fuck it, Dan. Here's the next topic right here. Oh boy. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Save your voting time for survival. You know, that's one of the many reasons to not get involved in status bullshit. You're not going to change any of it. It's theater. Voting doesn't work. But what you can get back is your precious fucking time. You can get back the time you waste watching CNN or Fox News or listening to NPR. You can get the time back you waste talking to your friends about Trump or Biden. You can just get back a lot of wasted fucking time. So save your voting time for survival. That's my recommendation. Next topic. Dan, but Trump's going to save us. I mean, I know you believe that. I know you believe it. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Respect does not mean approval. Respect does not mean approval. Just because I respect you doesn't mean, you know, I want to live the way you do. Respect doesn't mean approval. Respect doesn't mean it's okay. It just means you're not fucking with me. It just means you're leaving me alone too. I can respect you. I can give you your fucking space. I might even listen to your bullshit once in a while. But it doesn't mean I approve of it. It just means that maybe you're the kind of person who can take your opinions and sort of like not go out and act violently because of them. Like maybe you can simply just have opinions and voice them. And maybe violence or physical assaults are not the next step in your thinking process. Respect doesn't mean approval, but respect does mean live and let live. That's what it means. It means to be a neighbor. Neighbors don't all like each other. A lot of neighbors don't like each other, but they'll live near each other. And if you have a healthy community, all your neighbors will not like each other, but they'll live with each other. They'll respect each other. And there's a good chance they'll look out for each other, even if they don't approve, even if they don't like, they can respect. I've lived that way before, and it's a great way to live. It was rare, but I got to live that way for a couple years once. And it was kind of nice. Oh, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Detroit was to the automotive world what Seattle will be and is to tech. What Detroit was, the hope and the glory. What Detroit was, Seattle will soon be. It's well on its way. Have you been to Aurora lately? Yeah, I think best case scenario, Seattle's going to end up in a bad place economically. I had a crazy person tell me a number of years ago that Seattle was a super city, like Rome. And then I had to explain how many fucking times Rome has been destroyed. You see, yeah, you can tell me Seattle's a super city. That doesn't mean shit, dumbass. I don't care what property you own. Once the mushroom cloud is done reorganizing things, you're going to find out that somebody else ends up owning the super city, assuming you're right. But what if it's simply just another fucking place that doesn't have enough food, doesn't have enough healthy water, frankly, even with all the water around it, doesn't have enough of anything to feed its people if things go awry? What if it's just another shitty place pending chaos? In that sense, it's not like Detroit. Because, you know, Detroit's kind of reinventing itself today. But Seattle is on the other side of the mountain, you know. And there's a lot of pain. A lot of pain before you become a super city. A super city! You know, it's like soup or fucking what? Super salad city, maybe. I don't know. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If some of your company's critical revenue comes from the Fed grift, which means easy loans, you know, whether it's payouts or tax favors or just the free Fed bucks, if critical revenue comes from these sources, chances are you're doing nothing good. And probably you do a hell of a lot of bad. Sorry, Elon. I'll leave that there. You guys can think on it. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Validating honeypots has been a big part of the manipulation since early 2020. Well, what does that mean? Well, to some extent, in my mouth, I have a little bit of cotton mouth. I have to apologize. My camper setup today is not so great, and I'll leave it at that. But, validating honeypots has been a big part of the manipulation since early 2020. I sometimes use the term lesser catastrophe. And lesser catastrophe is something you can get fixated on because it feels like you know the truth. Like the Wuhan labs that gave us the poisonous monkey herpes that almost crashed the world, except for Trump saved us with warp speed vaccines. That's a lot of bullshit. Frankly, the COVID was a collection of little limited hangouts that people could stop at, little spots where they think they found the truth. The whole thing was fucking bullshit, but people could feel special. A lot of this is being done so that people do look at the wrong thing, whether it's UFOs, the WEF reset, Tucker, Alex bullshit, Elon and Twitter, so many to list. So many special little spots where you think you found the edge, you know, you're an edgelord. And you think you found the truth, but you probably haven't. A lot of what the strategic military psychological warfare has been since 2020 is about giving you some location on the map where you think you found the gold, but all you found was a giant frozen turd. Next topic, fuckers. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. If my name were Professor Crabtree, I would CRISPR engineer apple trees that grew Dungeness crabs. If my name was Professor Crabtree, I would genetically engineer trees that grow crabs. But something goes wrong, and I get the wrong kind of crab. All of a sudden, the various hooker legions and various pimp daddies of Sector 21 Alpha, they're doing nothing but eating those special apples, and they're getting crabs. Because I'm Professor Crabtree. That's enough of that. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Be careful when looking at old furniture. Old chairs have fart demons. Be careful. You're looking at that recliner. It has a fart demon. Why don't you smell it? Be careful. You like that chair. It has a soft padding. It contains a fart demon. Be careful. You love the sofa. You love the sofa bed. Look at that brown stain. You see, the boomers did a lot of coke back in the 70s and 80s, and they would watch TV and fall asleep, and there was a lot of laxative in their fucking coke. And many of those cokeheads would get super fucking broke and have to sell their fucking furniture. Even some of it might be collectible. But within those chairs, those comfy spots, there are fart demons and shart demons. There are ancient greases. I don't care. They can wash it all out. You can't keep out the stain. So have fun antiquing this weekend. Have fun. Look out for the fart demons. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If you don't know the difference between freedom and physical assault, you'll be treated like an animal. If you think freedom means you get to beat people up, you'll be treated like an animal and taken to the body dump. If you think freedom means you get to form a gang and scare your neighbor, huh? You're gonna get treated like a fucking animal. You see, if we actually lived in a free world, an actual free country, a lot of the problems we have with physical violence would disappear very quickly. I think it was Heinlein that said that an armed society is a polite society, and this is generally true. I believe this. If people are willing to look out for each other, respect each other, doesn't mean they always like each other, but if they'll look out for each other, a lot of physical assault simply stops and probably never becomes a mass shooting. Could one crazy nut kill one person in a free world? Well, yeah, it's not a perfect world. But is it likely in a free world where enough people are armed that one person's going to kill a couple hundred in Vegas? Probably not. And if there's nobody funding that bullshit, no special NGO, no fucking bullshit brigade, then all of a sudden the physical assault just goes away because there's no money for it. In a free country, all things being equal, people don't spend money on breaking windows. They don't spend money on setting fire to buildings. They don't spend money on building gangs to go beat each other up. In a free world, they conduct commerce and there's competition and there's free enterprise. And chances are people would be a lot richer than today. And that becomes another reason not to randomly beat up your neighbor. But if you don't know the difference between physical assault and freedom, you're going to have a bad day very soon, Mr. Animal. Next topic. Woo-hoo. So this is kind of a thought I had a few weeks ago. It dealt with that bridge. You know the bridge, I think it's in Baltimore or something, that got hit by the container ship and knocked down? And I heard they cleared it so boats could go in and out, maybe. And that sounds great. And I don't even know the truth of it. I kind of don't fucking care. The base case is this is a neo-Stalinist hellhole and collapse, and this is the kind of shit that starts happening at a greater rate. But I gotta say, I don't think that bridge is ever going to be rebuilt. Ever. I don't think there's going to ever be a replacement bridge. That doesn't mean the world's coming to an end. That doesn't mean everything's crappy. But I think we're at the point in the game where fixing or replacing that bridge is just not going to happen. And again, this is just a prediction. You know, sometime in the next 5 to 10 years, you can come back on your space scooter after having space pizza with Elon Musk on Mars. And you can go, Dan, we finished the bridge. We finished the bridge, we did it, and you said we wouldn't. Yeah, in 5 or 10 years, you could find me, if I'm alive, I don't know. But in 5 or 10 years, you could say, Dan, we finished the bridge. I don't think it's ever going to be fixed. I don't think it's ever going to be replaced. I think the Sklog people in the future will use it as anchorage for their Dig Realm farms and Genghis Toad abattoirs in that gruesome time to come. Yeah. That bridge is not going to be rebuilt. Next topic. Oh, I got this Dr. Freckles quote I don't really want to read, so I'm just going to leave it right here. Why don't we just say we're done for today? okay? It'll make everybody feel better. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, I'm not sure why that's your problem, not mine. But if you listen to it and enjoy it and would like to donate to it, you can. There's a link to PayPal. I don't currently take crypto because I have no means by which to use it. My computer, my personal computer, crapped out months ago. I can't afford to replace it. The computer I'm currently using, for all kinds of reasons, is not going to host a wallet. AKA work computer, that's as much as I want to say. Yeah, so I can't take crypto. If you send me stuff in the mail, my mail gets opened. I'm not special. This kind of shit's happening to a lot of people. PayPal is all that works, and probably within a few weeks it won't work either. Just being honest. But if you like my podcast, you can donate. Before you do, listen to the following disclosure. Disclosure. Disclaimer. Listen to what I'm saying. Before you donate to my podcast, take care of your food, water, shelter. Take care of the people you care about and love. Now is a time to make sure that those connections are the strongest. I don't give a fuck about your Facebook or your Twitter or how many edgelords you're connected with who turn out to not really exist in the real world. That's all bullshit. Food, water, shelter, community, and the people around you. Before you donate to my podcast, take care of those things first. If you have a dog or a cat, and you're setting aside food, you know, just in case, right? I don't think that's crazy. 6 months worth of food might be optimistic. But let's say you have 6 months worth of food on hand, in case you need it. And that includes water purification, brothers and sisters, not just food. Thirst will kill you first. Well, crazy probably kills you first, but thirst kills you second. That being said, if you're setting aside food for your family, remember, your dog and cat are members of your family. So make sure you have extra food for them too. And don't forget, as I try to remind people, despite how dark these podcasts can be at times, and they can be kind of dark, despite the darkness, try to remember, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, I think we're on the verge of some fucking crazy times that no living person alive today could really understand, with rare exceptions. You know, if you lived in Yugoslavia in the 1990s, you might understand a little. But the reality is, nobody alive today really understands what's coming. It's going to be that shocking. And that is best case scenario. Best case scenario, what we're looking at is just worldwide total economic collapse, and that's if we're lucky. And at this point in time, with all the mind fucking since 2020, I'm not wagering on lucky, so you don't want to ask me how much worse it could be. I'm just telling you best case. But still, I don't think it's the end of the world. And because it's not the end of the world, and because there's still stuff you can go out and do, you could still theoretically take out a mortgage to take your family to a movie. You could still theoretically max out your credit card to have a steak dinner. You can still theoretically do stuff, and I'm joking about going into debt, but you can still go out and have a good time while you still can. Stuff is still kind of working. It's not working great, but it's not over yet. So while this world is semi-functional and you can still maybe enjoy yourself, do it. There's going to be a time in the future where you're going to kick yourself in the nuts for not doing it. I mean it. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world, but it does mean some things are going to end. And as far as my Berlin, April 1945 reference goes, if you're a listener, it's not that complicated. A lot of people want to scare people with the whole, oh my God, we're going to get Hitler in Germany and stuff. And all I can tell you is this country's already done all those things. We've already killed a shit ton of people. We've already had camps. We've already done all of it. Okay, that part of German history, if you want to draw the fucking analogy, is over. We taught the Nazis how to do shit. IBM consulted on how to count people and record people. Ford Motor Company consulted and assisted on the final solution. So fuck you with all your, it's going to be like Germany 1933. The game is over. It's over. That's what I mean by Berlin. April 1945. Yeah, there's still a few weeks left, and that's a great fucking reason. to treat yourself, to enjoy yourself, but it's over. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world, but whatever you think the United States of America is, it's almost over. But still, not the end of the world. So if you want to donate, you can. Make sure you take care of business first, right? For Sunday, April the 28th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc, it's almost noon, but not quite. For Sunday, I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. Go for a walk with your dog. Why don't you play with your kitty cat? Your kitty cat loves you. Your kitty cat loves you, but it doesn't love Ukraine. And have a great Monday tomorrow, my little puddle flower.